Purity and impurity are more than just external issues of behavior, culture, and practice. They cut to the soul. They slice to the living core of who you are and who you will become. You're listening to Renewal, and these are the words of our special guest. Here now is our host and teacher, Dr. Gene Getz, to continue his conversation with Randy Alcorn.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. And my special guest all this week is Randy Alcorn. Welcome back, Randy.
Thanks.
Thanks, too, for your book. It's just excellent. The Purity Principle, you talk about our sexual being, our sexual lives, and you have a chapter entitled, What's the Big Deal About Sex? And this might be a little surprising to some people, but you say right from the get-go, there is something qualitatively different about sexual sin. Why? Because sex is not just something you do. Sex is someone you are. When you have sex, you put your life on the line. You give away something you may never get back. Why is sexual sin different in the sense of, you use the word qualitatively?
Well, it's interesting because I wouldn't have come up with that on my own, but of course the text demands that of us in 1 Corinthians 6:18. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. In the same context, the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and then it goes on to talk about, can you join this temple of the Holy Spirit to a prostitute? And what are the implications of that? You know, the fact that the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, indwells us as believers means that we take the Holy Spirit of God with us wherever we go. And so when we're watching that movie or engaging in that sexual activity or viewing pornography on the internet or whatever it is, we are actually bringing the Spirit of God up close because he indwells us to this thing. And it should be unthinkable to us. I mean, it should be something that frightens us. The fear of God should overcome us, you know, as we consider that idea. And I also think that part of that is recognizing how devastating for our own personal lives and our family lives and even our future as single people for their future mates, and certainly married people for their mates, for their children. What does it do to children in a family? What does it do to a young boy or young girl to see his or her father looking at a woman lustfully at a beach? What does it do to see him watching the ball game, and then when the camera focuses in on the cheerleaders and when the beer commercials come on and the women are hardly wearing anything, and where are his eyes going? What message does it send, and what does it tell them about what they should be like?
And our children are watching. I mean,
absolutely.
They are watching us.
Yeah, they don't always do what we say, but they usually end up doing what we do. That's great if you're really following Christ and being a Christ-like example, but it's devastating if you're not.
You say, of course, in terms of sexual behavior that is out of the will of God, that you give away something you may never get back. Now, that sounds a little threatening, I think,
right,
to those who may have, and many have, obviously, sinned in this area of their life. But look at it from two points of view. You do give away something you may never get back,
right,
but let's balance that in terms of really what you call secondary virginity.
Right. And I think secondary virginity is an excellent term. You know, some have kind of scoffed at it because they've gone, well, okay, well, once you lose your virginity, obviously you can't get it back. In a technical sense, that may be true, but it fails to recognize the power of confession and repentance. The fact that God says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. And in 1 Corinthians 6, as a matter of fact, where it talks about all of these different sins, including sexual sins, and then he says, such were some of you, past tense, but you were cleansed, you were justified, you've been changed, you've been transformed. And the great thing is, when we experience the forgiveness of Christ from this point forward, by his grace, by his empowerment, we can live in a way that is pleasing to God. And we can experience the effects and the blessings of a righteous life, even if in the past we were characterized by unrighteous decisions. In the same way that a person who was characterized by righteous decisions, you know, can lose that by choosing the path of sin.
It's interesting that I often think about the fact and share that, you know, the New Testament world was very sexually oriented. I mean, it would shock us. I mean, the activities in the pagan temples, the thing that children observed, the symbols that were a part of the culture. And they were saved out of that. And as you've said, you know, God cleansed them, gave them new lives in Christ, gave them a new start. I sometimes wonder how in the world that happened in view of what you're sharing here about how sexual sin does pervert, how it changes, how it interacts with who we really are. But I've often said, you know, if the New Testament believers could come out of that stuff, why can't we stay out of it?
Yes.
Any comments on that?
I think part of it is, Gene, that we fail to realize what it means to be holy, to be set apart, to be called by God out of darkness and into light. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I became a Christian when I was in high school. And I think in some ways, as much as I would have loved to grow up in a Christian home, in some ways it was easier for me than it was for others in the youth group who had come from Christian homes where all they had known was a context of being a Christian from an early age. And that's a wonderful thing. And my wife experienced that. But I also think that it was easier for me to see the contrast. I mean, I realized what I was without Christ, and that darkness had no lure and appeal for me. It's what I was wanting to get away from. And of course, I've, you know, committed many sins and done many wrong things since. But you know, one of the things that keeps me away from internet pornography, by God's grace, I've not double-clicked and gone to one of those pornographic sites, although in going to other sites along the way, some images popped up, and by God's grace, I've, you know, moved away from it. But the point is, what keeps me away from that? Well, part of it is, I just know how utterly destructive it is. I've been catching some moles in my side yard here, and I put those mole traps out there, and I was resetting one of them this morning, and boy, am I careful with that, because I don't want that mole trap to take my hand off or my finger off. And so I'm not careful because I'm such a righteous person. I'm careful because I just don't want that destruction. And the same thing is true in my personal life, in my walk with Christ. I don't want to lose what I would lose through becoming addicted to internet pornography. And you know, every addiction starts with doing it the first time.
My special guest here on Renewal All This Week, Randy Alcorn. Randy, thanks for being with me. We'll continue to talk about the purity principle, the title of your new book. And those of you listening, stay with us, because we'll tell you how you can get a copy. I'm Gene Getz, your host here in Renewal. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Gene. And in just a few minutes, we will share with you how you can get a copy of The Purity Principle, a powerful little book subtitled God's Safeguards for Life's Dangerous Trails. Well, Gene, today you talked about the negative results of violating God's moral principles. But how do we help people make a new start, to overcome guilt and not to feel doomed because they violated God's moral principles?
Well, Alan, I think we have to really understand the concept of forgiveness. You see, Jesus Christ came to die for every sin, no matter what that sin is. If it's moral sin, Jesus Christ died for that sin. Now, the fact of the matter is that when we violate these moral principles, it is going to affect us. We've given away something that is very difficult to get back, maybe never to get back in its reality. But I like the concept that we shared with you today. He called it secondary virginity. Well, in a sense, you see, what that's talking about is that when we come to Jesus Christ, He sees us as brand new. He sees us as new in our hearts and our minds and our bodies, and He wants us to start over. And that's the situation that was true in the lives of so many people in the New Testament world. Most of these people lived in sexual immorality. It was a part of their culture, a part of their society. It, in a sense, is where our culture is heading. We're already moving in that direction. And people are being converted to Jesus Christ out of that kind of lifestyle, just as they were in the New Testament world. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and they certainly lived in that kind of culture, a culture that was permeated with idolatry and pagan rites in the temple that always involved sexual immorality. And this is what Paul wrote to these new believers. He said, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that is, be made holy, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable." You see, they were not controlling their bodies in a way that was holy and honorable. And so as believers, he is telling them and encouraging them and exhorting them to learn to control their bodies in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen, which they knew all about because that was their previous lifestyle. They were not to continue in that kind of lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we've already told you and warn you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now again, what I'm pointing out is that those were words written to people who were converted out of a very sinful lifestyle, an immoral lifestyle. And so consequently, we need to see ourselves as new in Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of the blood of Christ, washing us clean, not punishing ourselves for the sins we've committed, but accepting the forgiveness there is in Christ and moving forward as brand new people in our Savior. Well, you may be interested in pursuing this subject further. And to do that, you can contact us here and ask about this book, The Purity Principle. It's available for a suggested donation of $10. It's one that will help you personally. It's one you can pass on to your son or to your daughter. It's a little book that you can sit down and talk about and discuss and interact and pray over and pray for those who certainly need its message and somehow you would like to communicate that message to them. This book will help you to do that. You can find out how to get a copy by simply writing us, Box 2400, Dallas 75221, or call us at 1-800-RENEWAL. That's 1-800-RENEWAL. And don't forget, you can log on to our website, renewalradio.org.
Once again, our phone number is 1-800-RENEWAL. That's toll-free, 1-800-RENEWAL. Or you can find us on the web at renewalradio.org. That's renewalradio.org. And our mailing address is Renewal, Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Once again, that's Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. We hope to hear from you today and trust that you'll join us once again tomorrow right here on Renewal.